Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time, and I'm back. Fresh off a Thanksgiving weekend. Some time out in Florida. That's where I was, spending some time with my mom, my stepdad, my little sis. Great to be back, though, folks. And I, you know, Michigan, of course, Michigan wouldn't ease me into the Michigan weather, right? I mean, I kid you not. It's such a mental trip for those who have traveled down to any kind of warm climate when it's wintertime here in Michigan. It's a mental trip, isn't it? Because, you know, you go from 80 degrees and the sun is shining, barely a cloud in the sky, and you hop on a plane for 3 hours, and then boom, instant cold weather. And of course, I was welcomed last night by a snowstorm that hit this state pretty hard and this area pretty hard. Now, I will say, because I flew into Detroit last night, and Detroit didn't get really any snow last night. Lansing was hit very hard overnight with snow. So woke up and made the drive from my grandma's house from Detroit to Lansing this morning, and still didn't snow a lot in Detroit. And as I'm driving, I just slowly but surely see a ton of snow, and I start to see the damage that was done overnight here in the Lansing area. But it's really a mental trip. I go from playing golf on a golf course to come in here to just a white Christmas, basically, right? But it's good to be back. I want to give a big shout out before I proceed to our fantastic current sports team that held down the fort all of last week while I was out. Jack Kerwin behind the glass, Zachary Swiezicki, Connor Mathis, as well as Alec Rio, all holding down the fort, having live shows from Monday to Wednesday. Then we had two best of shows on Thanksgiving Day and on Friday. But boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to get to on today's current sports. A lot I am going to try and cover and get off my chest and give you my perspective and thoughts on. Of course, we will talk about your Michigan State football team that ended up beating Rutgers. But let's be real, that win against Rutgers does not feel like a win. It that feels like a loss, doesn't it? I mean, I sat and watched that game on Saturday, and I could not believe just how bad this team looked. I mean, we're talking about Rutgers here, the unwanted stepchild of the Big Ten Conference, and Michigan State only beats Rutgers by, what, 4 points? 14-10 in the final, Jack, on Saturday? And by the way, you know, I was just having this conversation, Jack, with Brad Walker before we hit the airwaves. He was at the game, one of the few Spartan fans that were at the game on Saturday. And Fox did a really good job, didn't they? They did a really good job, Jack, masking just how empty Spartan Stadium truly was. Because I saw some pictures on social media, and it was just like there was no one there. No one there. It was dead. Totally dead.
Can you blame anyone for not going? No, I mean, I didn't go.
Right. I totally. I mean, because it's Thanksgiving weekend, so a lot of students are still at home with their families at that, yeah. Right? You know, and it's Rutgers. The season hasn't gone that well. But, you know, the performance the Spartans showed, I'll get to it later on, okay? We, of course, are going to talk about, on a much lighter note for you Spartan fans, the Michigan Wolverines.
getting embarrassed at Ohio Stadium in Columbus by the Buckeyes. I mean, Michigan didn't even show up. And that highly touted defense, I mean, that's a defense that was ranked number one in the country in total defense. Just allowing Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins in that offense, just to go off. So we'll recap that matchup as well. I'll try to get to some Detroit Lions talk on another down note, right, as they fell to the Chicago Bears on Turkey Day. And how about the Michigan State men's basketball team winning the Las Vegas Invitational? Pretty impressive stuff there. And a huge shout-out. I have a big shout-out for the Michigan State men's soccer team led by head coach Damon Rensing as a part of our weekend winner segment, because I to let the cat out the bag, they are my weekend winners. What Damon Rensing is doing, it needs more acknowledgement. He needs more props. It is truly special. The Michigan State men's soccer team moving on to the Elite Eight in the NC2A tourney. Pretty impressive stuff. So we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour. If you want to chime in and let your voice be heard, call the show at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. The live stream is up and running there. Comment below that video, and you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, here are your current sports quick hit headliners on this snowy Monday, November 26th, 2018. And again, for all of those out there listening to the show right now, you may be in your car listening, please drive safe, take your time. You know, again, coming from a guy who, again, I drove from Detroit this morning in that mess, and I went probably 50 to 60 miles per hour on the highway. Don't speed if you have to. Don't rush. Please be safe out there. It is very, very nasty. All right. As I mentioned, MSU men's soccer returns to the Elite Eight for the second straight season after a 1-0 win against 13th seed Georgetown yesterday in Washington, D.C. MSU has now reached the Elite Eight 4 times in the last 6 seasons. This is the Spartans' 8th NCAA appearance under head coach Damon Rensing. MSU is now a 11-5-3 record in the NCAA tournament. Games under his guidance, the Spartans advanced to the Elite Eight in 2013, 14, and 17. Overall, MSU has reached the tournament 20 times with a 29-14-5 record. Quite amazing what this team is doing. And Damon Rensing, you know, he's one of my favorite coaches. He's always going to be honest and real and just so down to earth. Now leading this program to another Elite Eight appearance. It is truly special. So now Michigan State will take on James Madison. That will take place this weekend, December 1st at 5 p.m. So this Saturday at 5 p.m. as Michigan State tries to get over the hump of moving on past now to past the Elite Eight. So we're working on trying to get Damon on the show sometime this week as well. All right, MSU football. Cody White scored on a 22-yard end-around with 3:57 left to play. and Michigan State edged Rutgers 14-10 on Saturday night, handing the Scarlet Knights their 11th straight loss, but only a four-point win over the Scarlet Knights. Come on now, it's Rutgers. The Spartans, 7-5 on the year, 5-4 in the Big Ten Conference, trailed 10-7 when a punt pinned Rutgers back at its own one-yard line with 5:23 remaining. The Scarlet Knights eventually had to punt, and Michigan State took over at the Rutgers 35. Quarterback Ricky Lombardi ran for a 13-yard gain on 3rd and 10. And on the next play, that's when Cody White had that 22-yard touchdown. The Scarlet Knights drove into Michigan State territory, but Josiah Scott intercepted a pass at the 3-yard line with 1:32 left to play in the game. Josiah Scott was great in that game as well. More on MSU football in just a moment. And also, I want to pass this news along to you all. The Michigan State football team also held its awards banquet over the weekend. And to just give you a list of some of the notable awards, the Governor's Award, which goes to the team's most valuable player, was awarded to junior defensive end Kenny Willekes. Pretty impressive stuff there. The Downtown Coaches Club Award Outstanding Defensive Player goes to junior linebacker Joe Bocci. Also, the Downtown Coaches Club Award for the Outstanding Offensive Player went to sophomore running back Connor Hayward, and the Downtown Coaches Club Award for Outstanding Special Teams Player went to sophomore kicker Matt Coghlan. All right, U of M, so much on the line, and the Michigan Wolverines carried themselves all week with confidence, but when it mattered most, their bubble was burst again by arch rival Ohio State. The Wolverines' top-ranked defense was torched by the Ohio State offense, entering the game ranked number 2 nationally in a 62-39 rout at Ohio Stadium on Saturday. That's the most points the Wolverines have allowed since Illinois scored 65 in a triple overtime loss to Rich Rodriguez, coached Michigan in 2010. Michigan was ranked number 4 in the college football playoff rankings and was poised to make its first Big Ten championship game, but all of that is now out of the window. And again, no more. Yeah, taking with it the Wolverine shot at a national title berth, or even just a national playoff berth, right? So we'll have more on U of M losing to Ohio State in just a moment as well. And this actually just broke. Jack, you saw this news on, I believe on Twitter or just online somewhere, right?
He posted it to Twitter. Angelique Shengelis from the Detroit News wrote a piece on it.
Nice. And that news is Rashawn Gary is leaving for the NFL draft. Not unexpectedly, the Michigan junior defensive end, Rashawn Gary, he will forgo his senior season for a shot in the National Football League. Gary announced that decision also in a YouTube video that he, again, as Jack stated, posted on his Twitter page today. This comes 2 days after the loss to Ohio State. Gary said in the video, quote, "I would like to thank my higher power, my family, the University of Michigan, the students, and the fans. I will be foregoing my senior season to make a dream come true, to declare for the draft. Thank you. Go Blue." Michigan, again, eliminated from Big Ten championship contention with the loss of the Buckeyes, and Rashawn has decided to just say, hey, I'm done. I am going to the NFL. Right decision in my estimation. Again, we'll have more on that as well later on this hour. All right, and Michigan State men's basketball dug itself a deep hole early against Texas, but Joshua Langford, Cassius Winston, and the rest of the Spartans did not hit the panic button. Trailing by 19 points 8 minutes into the Las Vegas Invitational Championship game, the 11th-ranked Spartans took the lead in the second half and pulled away for a 78-68 dub on Friday. Josh Langford scored 29 points. Winston had 20 points, 10 assists, and was also named the tournament MVP. But Josh Langford really taking his game to another level, probably the best game of his Michigan State basketball career. He was lights out, folks. More on that performance from the Spartans out on the West Coast later on this hour. Also, the Michigan State hockey team scored 4 unanswered goals to erase a 2-0 deficit and defeat Minnesota 4-2 on Saturday night at 3M Arena at Marucci. Tyro Hirose, he scored and had 2 assists, including setting up both the tying and game-winning goals. Freshman goaltender Drew DeRitter, he made 28 saves to notch his first collegiate win. Trailing 2-0 late in the second period, Hirose got the Spartans on the board with 1:57 left to play. Patrick Kortarenko came out of a right corner, with the puck and threw it toward the front of the net, where Hirose corralled it and quickly slipped it under the pads of goaltender Eric Shearhorn. All right. Also, this was big news last week that our fantastic current sports, WKAR news team did in covering and bringing coverage to you all and updating you all. Luana Simon, former MSU president, now being arraigned today. The last time Luana K. Simon was in a courtroom was because of Larry Nassar. Simon was still president of Michigan State, and she was watching women just really detail their sexual abuse by Nassar, the former MSU sports medicine doctor. And today, it was now Simon herself standing before a judge. Simon, who resigned as MSU president days after her January courtroom appearance, was arraigned today on charges of lying to police about her knowledge of a 2014 incident involving Nassar's abuse of a patient at the MSU Sports Medicine Clinic. Simon appeared before Judge Julie Ranke in Eaton County District Court in Charlotte. She faces 2 felony and 2 misdemeanor counts of lying to a peace officer. Also, Simon was freed on a personal recognizance bond of $5,000, and a conference hearing was set for December 18th to discuss her preliminary hearing. And for more coverage on that, I know our very own Kevin Lavery covered that arraignment of Simon today. Just simply visit WKAR.org for extended coverage on the arraignment of former Michigan State University President Luana Simon. And also, you can listen to coverage on All Things Considered later on this afternoon. All right, the Detroit Pistons ended up beating the Phoenix Suns 118-107, the final yesterday. Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, both with 19 points. Blake Griffin with 16. Next game tomorrow against the New York Knicks at Little Caesars Arena. Also, you can catch the Detroit Red Wings in action tonight, as the Wings will play host to the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is already the third and final meeting of the season between the Wings and the Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets won the season opener 3-2 in overtime in Detroit, while the Wings ran up a 3-0 lead and held on to win 5-3 on October 30th on the road in Columbus. The Blue Jackets have lost 2 of their last 3 games, while the Wings have won 9 of their last 12, but are winless in their last 2. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. We want to hear from you all. I want to hear your thoughts on the very underwhelming win for the Michigan State football team as they were able to beat Rutgers. Rutgers, of all teams, by only 4 points on Saturday inside of Spartan Stadium. And also, what are your thoughts on Michigan falling to Ohio State? Not just falling, but just getting absolutely embarrassed in Columbus, Ohio, as Jim Harbaugh's losing streak against the Scarlet and Gray continues. What are your thoughts on both of those games or anything that you saw over the weekend, the Turkey Day weekend? I would love to hear from you all. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. You can comment right below that video and join the conversation via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. We'll be right back.
feels so good to be back. Happy Monday to you all. It is Monday, November 26, 2018. I am your host of WKAR's current sports, Al Martin. I'm back from Thanksgiving break. Not to rub it in, but it was an awesome time down in Florida, the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. My mom has relocated there. It'll be 3 years in January that she has made the move from cold and snowy Michigan, right? I mean, some people like this. And no knock to you. I mean, especially around the holidays, I can't lie. When it's Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, seeing snow, it puts me in the holiday mood. But it's like after December and after the new year, I'm like, you look, I chuck up the deuces to it and I say, all right, can we get back to like 70 and sunny? But anyway, I was down out in Florida and I played a ton of golf and got a chance to be out there with my stepdad bonding. Nothing like bonding on the golf course. And I probably played the best four rounds of golf I've ever played in my life. It was awesome. And then catching up with my mom, you know, got a chance to check out a Miami Heat game while I was out there as well. Now, the Miami Heat are one of the, well, I tell you what, Eric Spoelstra is trying. I think he's one of the most talented coaches in the NBA, but they just don't have a lot of talent out there in Miami anymore, post LeBron James. Dwayne Wade is still with the team, so, Dwayne, I think, will retire. He did say that this will be his final year with the Miami Heat. So I got a chance to see Dwayne on his farewell tour, if you will. My very first time checking out Dwayne Wade, on the basketball court in person. And I'll tell you what, Miami still has a lot of love for D-Wade. They really do. The Heat played the Brooklyn Nets. So, yeah, and the Nets are arguably the worst team in the NBA. So, watched two bad NBA basketball teams go at it, but it was heaven for me because I'm just a nut for the NBA. So my mom, my stepdad, my little sis, we went out and checked that game out. It ended up being pretty entertaining because it went down to the wire. Miami did end up losing. So there you have that. But it was just an awesome time being out there. And you know, as I stated at the top of the hour, you know, Michigan did not ease me back into this weather because as soon as I got off the plane last night, it was just cold, you know, and I had my winter jacket just handy because I knew it was coming. All right, my Eskimo hat. But I tell you what, it does feel good to be back. It feels great to be back behind the mic. A lot to get to. And again, big shout out to Zachary Swiezicki, Alec Rio, Connor Mathis, and the man who is currently engineering things behind the glass, my man 50 Grand, Jack Kerwin. How was it, man? How'd you guys do last week? I got a chance to tune in here and there.
Yeah, no, I think we did good. You know, Swy did a great job of bringing in some WDBM guys, Kyle Turk and Ryan Cole as well.
I believe Julian Mitchell as well.
Julian,
right?
As well, yep. He did a great job talking Spartan hoops. So, you know what? We held down the fort well, I'd say. Swy did a good job hosting and, you know, tried to help him out where I could.
Awesome stuff, man. Awesome stuff. So, thank you to you all. Yeah, it sounded great. Got a few compliments, actually, from some people hopping in my DMs and saying that you guys did a good job. So, that's good to hear that you guys didn't burn down the house while Dad was away. All right? Well, let's get to it. Man, you know, and Apache, I see you because, again, I want to hear from you all and I want to get your thoughts on the weekend that was as it pertains to both Michigan and Michigan State football. Right now, I really want to temper my emotions just for at least the next 7 minutes before we hit, well, I should say after we hit our first break, because I want to start, you know, on a positive note for Spartan fans, if there is one, you know, other than because I could also bring up the Las Vegas Invitational, right, and talk about Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team. I could bring up Damon Rensing, but I'm pocketing those for our weekend winner segment, because even though Michigan State did get a win number 7 on the year, Michigan State is going to be bowling somewhere. What we saw at Spartan Stadium on Saturday, it was an embarrassment. It truly was. And in my time watching Michigan State football, it was probably the worst game I've seen Michigan State play. Even though it was a win, I get it. You know, there's some people out there listening saying, Al, but we got the dub. Al, a win is a win. But when you only beat
one of the worst football programs in the nation, arguably the world. When you beat, as I like to say, the unwanted stepchild of the Big Ten in Rutgers by only 4 points, that's not a win. That's a loss on so many different levels. But here I go. I'm getting worked up. I'm going to save my further thoughts on Michigan State and Rutgers till after our first break. I want to start, though, with Michigan. The Michigan Wolverines traveling to Columbus, Ohio on Saturday afternoon to take on Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, by now, college football fans, you already know what occurred. The Michigan Wolverines did not just lose. They got just flat out embarrassed. It was an embarrassing loss for Jim Harbaugh. I mean, 62 points were put up by the Ohio State Buckeyes. 62. And as I noted, you know, depending on what statistical website you're looking at, I mean, Michigan was number one or number two in the nation in total defense. You know, depending on, because you look at some websites, they're throwing in, you know, these really specific stats that go beyond just your normal total defensive stats. But, one, you know, this is a top three defensive team in the nation, folks. Top two defensive team in the nation. Allowing 234.8 yards per game. Giving up almost 600 yards to the Buckeyes. This was a loss of epic proportions for so many reasons, because a lot of people felt that this was finally going to be the year that Jim Harbaugh was going to find where Indy was located in his GPS. He was finally going to find Lucas Oil Stadium, get to Indy to participate in the Big Ten championship game and possibly win the conference. Jack, you felt as though Michigan was going to win the conference. I at the back of my head, I just kept saying to myself, this is still Jim Harbaugh, and I won't be sold on Jimmy Boy until he goes out there and just gets the wins. Sure, you beat, you know, Michigan State. Michigan State, you see how good the Spartans are this year. And I tell you what, Jack, I'll say this. Even though you were wrong about, you know, Michigan going to the Big Ten championship game and becoming the Big Ten champions, you were right. I must admit this. You were right when using the stink word.
Oh, that's such a win for me.
It is such a win for you, man. I was sitting there. I was watching the game.
You finally came around.
Because it's Rutgers, dude. You know, you lose. I mean, I'm using the L word a lot here because it feels like a loss. But you beat Rutgers by only 4 points. That's in the stink category. It really is. I'm with you. With you in using that very harsh word that I was cautious in using earlier this year. Okay, see, I got off my point here.
You know, I'm upset that I'm right.
Yeah,
because you know I didn't want MSU to stink this year, but I feel so validated that you finally came around.
I have come around. I was sitting there saying, I was like, I got to give Jack his props on this one, because this team, it's an eyesore. That team on Saturday, it made my eyes bleed watching that. Oh, and I can't, you know, all right. As promised, I'll get to that after the first break. But a lot of people thought what you were wrong with, Jack, and again, I understand where a lot of people were coming from here, because you look at Michigan, you look at how good that defense was this year. Coming into this game against Ohio State, you just felt it, Michigan fans. You felt like, finally, you know, we got a quarterback now. Shea Patterson seems to be improving week after week after week. You know, the run game, Caron Higdon. You know, you look at the horses you got on the defensive side of the football who are really leading this team, and Chase Winovich. And you look at Rashawn Gary, Devin Bush. You know, the corners are playing very well. This is the year.
Wrong.
Thank you, Donald. Totally wrong. Totally wrong. And now, can we have a coming to Jesus moment, Michigan fans? Can we finally have the conversation of just how hot, because it's hot now, I believe, just how hot the seat is for Jim Harbaugh? Now, will Jim Harbaugh be fired? No. Because the upper echelons of, you know, Ward Manuel and everybody over there, they love Jim Harbaugh still. You know, still, Jim Harbaugh, they believe, is the guy. But when you go winless for this long in your Michigan head coaching tenure against what you perceive to be your biggest rival in Ohio State, and you get completely owned every single year by Urban Meyer, something has to change. Something has to change. And what would surprise me, I mean, there were so many surprising things that happened in this game. You know, also I saw this stat too, Jack. You know, the Michigan basketball team hasn't even allowed 62 points in a game this season. That kind of puts things in perspective.
Damn.
Right? The Michigan basketball team hasn't even allowed that many points. But you know, you look at this game, what surprised me probably more than anything in this game was the lack of pressure that was put on Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins. I mean, not one sack. Michigan's defense went sackless against that Ohio State offense. I can't even count. It probably was, you know, less than five times where Dwayne Haskins was even remotely pressured in that game. And the big thing in this game that I stated was, if you give Dwayne enough time, he will torch you. That Ohio State offense is that good. Defense, you can score on them all day. But, you know, when it comes to that offense, if you want to contain them, you have to get after Dwayne Haskins. If you let him sit back in that pocket, he will pick you apart. And that's exactly what happened. It was shocking. It was really shocking watching that unfold. That offensive line had a field day. It was shocking that with what that Ohio State offensive line was able to do in that game. So moving forward now, I mean, this is another year where the hopes and dreams of Michigan fans out there have now gone out the window. I want to know from Michigan fans who are listening out there, heck, from anybody who's listening out there, evaluating this game, how hot is the seat of Jim Harbaugh? What kind of changes need to be made? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, because I believe that Jim Harbaugh, he's not going to lose. It's going to take a full season collapse of epic proportions, I believe, in order for Michigan to look another direction. That's just what I believe. I think that still, you know, though, again, as I mentioned, Ward Manuel and everybody, you know, in Ann Arbor, who's, you know, a part of Michigan athletics, they still love Jim Harbaugh. But the fans out there, I think the tune is changing, man. I just really do. You can't. I think Urban Meyer has beaten the Michigan Wolverines now, what, seven straight times? Seven straight, Jack.
Yeah, that's correct. Seven in a row.
I mean, that's...
Hasn't lost to him. The last time Ohio State lost this rivalry was the Luke Fickell year, the one year between Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer.
Exactly. I mean, what do you... If you lose that many times to your number one rival, something has to shake and move. Something has to change. So, you know, Michigan not making the college football playoff, not even reaching the Big Ten title game now, you know, and if Ohio State, you know, beats Northwestern, makes the playoff, Michigan will likely play in the Rose Bowl. That's where Michigan will be heading. They'll be heading to Pasadena. But the expectations are high out in Ann Arbor. They just are. And, you know, when you can't beat Ohio State and when you can't make it to the title game for your conference, I mean, the fans are going to start to get a little restless. And I believe we've really hit that point. Yeah, sure. Coming into this year, I heard a lot of Michigan fans that will call up here to Current Sports and say, Al, if Jim Harbaugh doesn't get the job done this year, if he can't beat, you know, his rivals this year, and if he can't get to Indy this year, then we really have to have the conversation. But you were still pretty high on the Wolverines. And now it's just another letdown. So that's the question I have for you guys. I mean, just how hot is the seat of Jim Harbaugh? And, you know, even if you don't think his seat is hot right now, what other changes do you believe need to be made? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Line one, we've got our dear friend Apachu calling in. Apachu, hope you had a great Thanksgiving, my man.
Hey, welcome home, first of all. Secondly, I don't know if I want to be a friend anymore, man. You just beat me down.
I'm just keeping it real, Apachu. I mean, you can't lose to Ohio State like that.
Luann Simons is on her way to jail, and I saw that game against the New Jersey team, and it's all about Michigan. But anyway,
yeah.
looking at the whole story this year, mm-hmm. Michigan was progressive. They had a great year, 10-2. Okay, I think they're heading in the right direction. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is worried about his job. Okay, Illinois just re-signed their coach, and they had a terrible year. And the year before that, it was terrible. But he's a Super Bowl coach, and so is Harbaugh. No sweat. Take some time. We're getting better. I ain't freaking out on Ohio State. You know, that was an embarrassing loss, but it's the same. And it took me 2 days to recover from it. I mean, it was really I was in a stupor, man. Mm-hmm. But they became the embarrassment of the country for the last few years, and all of a sudden they were the darlings. And they may have overlooked Ohio State, and I think Harbaugh may have overcoached them in the sense that they reversed their strategy of what they did in the past. They became too conservative. But you got to remember also, they gave up 40 points to Michigan, and that was not impressive. Mm-hmm. That was like an Oklahoma State game or Oklahoma West Virginia game. And personally, I like defensive games. I like running games. I'm from the old school and so forth. But I'm really proud of my team so far. Okay, yeah, we didn't get Ohio State. Ain't no reason to freak out. We're 10-2. We're gonna get a nice bowl, and I think it we have to look at that aspect of it.
So I ask you, can I ask you this about you? What would it take? What would it take for you to get just totally fed up and say, all right, Jim Harbaugh, maybe he isn't the right guy for the job. What would really just kind of be the straw that breaks the camel's back for you, Apachu?
Boy, they'd have to play a lot worse than they played this year, and it would have to be consistent.
Yeah.
When Jim Harbaugh came in, if you compare his wins and losses to the MSU coach and his wins and losses, he's either pretty close or right at the same level or ahead of him. You know, my whole point about the Illinois coach and Jim Harbaugh is that you got to give coaches time to grow. Jim Harbaugh does not know the college game like he knows the pro game. It's a different game.
It is.
And I respect the Ohio State coach for not leaving for the pros. The best coach in America in college football was a bum in the NFL. It's a different game, you know. It's like the whole thing about the one-and-done rule in basketball. These kids coming and going and trying to win a national championship. I don't know what that point is. I know we're better. I felt a lot better about them. And Rashawn Gary, hey, thank you, brother. Thank you for giving us your body and your time and your emotions and your love. I really appreciate that. In the end, it's all about the kids, man, and what's good for them. Mm-hmm. That's what they tell them, and that's the way it should be. You know, the other thing was, hey, go green, man. I saw that basketball game. That was the baddest game I ever seen MSU play. Oh, my God, they laid it on the line. And I kept hearing about these two guards, two best guards in America and all that. So, you know, I saw them in the program. They was all right. Man, they laid down the law. The comeback was just all guts.
It was.
I mean, they just kept pecking out of pain. I gave up after they were down 17-19. I gave up on them. I said, no, they ain't coming back. Those guys are terrible.
Yeah.
And they had a talk or two, man. I got a lot of respect for that. That is an incredibly good team. But I am concerned about their post-up game.
Right.
And I noticed the big man, he's having trouble turning his shoulders and his hips to the basket.
Nick Ward.
And he's ended up with a lot of jump hooks, you know. So he's not confident. He's strong, and he's unafraid, but there's something going on there. But congratulations for that win, man.
Big win. Apache, yeah. Always a great take, my man.
Man.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to give you a rain ticket on that friendship, okay? Because I love you.
Please do.
Home, man.
Please, it ain't nothing personal, baby. I'm just keeping it real.
I hear you. Bye.
All right, Apache. Thank you so much, my man. I love talking to Apache. He's been one of my favorite callers for years here on Current Sports. And I want to definitely elaborate more on the Michigan State men's basketball win out in Vegas because it was truly impressive. That comeback, I thought that Michigan State, there was no way they were going to be able to claw themselves out of that big deficit to start the game. But they certainly did. So, again, further thoughts. Your thoughts on the Michigan Wolverines falling to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Call in 517-355-WKAR. When we come back from our first break, we'll talk about the Michigan State football team and that quote-unquote win over Rutgers on Saturday. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just put a bow, unless you want to weigh on it, on the Michigan and Ohio State conversation. As Michigan falls to Ohio State, they will not be traveling to Indy to represent the Big Ten East against Pat Fitzgerald and the Northwestern Wildcats, who won the Big Ten West. It will be Ohio State and Northwestern in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium at the beginning of December. Jim Harbaugh has now spent four seasons collecting the third highest salary in college football, and he has zero trophies to show for that moolah. Underrated? I truly believe so. We were just talking real briefly, Jack, and I wanted to address this just real quick when it comes to Urban Meyer and whether or not Urban Meyer is going to return as head coach of the Buckeyes next year, because you keep hearing these rumors out there with everything that happened in the offseason, that whole drama with Zach Smith and how much Urban knew, and then the press conference, then he's suspended, then he comes back, and then his health issues, right? You know, Jim Harbaugh, well, and I tell you what, he looked fine on the sideline on Saturday, right? Yeah, health issue, quote-unquote. Urban Meyer, I will say it's the reaction to his wife. His wife just in tears, just it looked like she was at a funeral when Ohio State put the finishing touches on that win over Michigan on Saturday. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, it's a big win. You know, Ohio State playing for a Big Ten championship now. And I know there was a lot of drama in the offseason, but those tears look like it was a swan song for Urban Meyer. So I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if this was the final year that Urban Meyer coaches Ohio State. But, you know, and I don't think Ohio State is going to get in. I don't think we'll have another, you know, Big Ten representative in the college football playoff this year, because I just think that the Purdue loss is so glaring. Again, barring that Ohio State does beat Northwestern, the Purdue loss is so glaring. And I look at Georgia and Oklahoma especially and say, man, I would put either one of those teams over Ohio State in the playoff. Again, it all depends on how Ohio State does beat Northwestern as well, because if you just squeak out a victory and beat Northwestern, you don't get any style points for that. That hurts your case. You're going to have to really stop Northwestern to send a message. We'll see what happens, though. I just don't see Ohio State getting that bid to get into the playoff. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised either way. If Urban did not come back, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, but if he does, hey, I mean, you are still worshipped out in Columbus, Ohio, and he has a great backing out there, and he's winning. He's winning as well, and sometimes winning, well, not sometimes, a lot of the time, most of the time, winning covers up everything, right? Whether right or wrong. All right. I'm going to try and be very brief with this conversation. Michigan State and Rutgers, it was a four-point win for your Spartans at Spartan Stadium. And a big shout out to anybody who attended that game on Saturday night and stayed the whole time, because that game was a total eyesore if you are a Spartan fan. It was hard to watch. It was a punter's battle. You know, not a lot of points being scored, and Michigan State favored by so much in this game. You only win by 4 points. For anybody who stayed the entire game or the majority of that game, you are a true Spartan fan. No one can ever debate if you bleed green or not. Because sitting, you know, at my mom's watching that, I'm not even going to lie. I fell asleep in the third quarter. The game was that boring. I dozed off.
How long were you asleep for?
I woke up and it was like 7 minutes in the fourth. I fell asleep midway through the third. So, yeah.
You probably missed two first downs during that time, maybe.
Exactly, Jack. But, you know, you look at that game and you say to yourself, my gosh, if there's any doubt in D'Antonio's brain that maybe Dave Warner isn't the right guy, I don't know how after that game, looking at your offense winning by only 4 points, you put up 14 points against Rutgers. I don't know how D'Antonio walks off that field confidently saying, yeah, Dave Warner, that's my guy. But then the other side of me just sits there and thinks, D'Antonio is so darn loyal. Look, folks, I'm sorry, but just give up hope on any chance of Dave Warner being fired. It's not going to happen. All right, I know you're clinging to this false hope of, well, finally, maybe Coach D is finally going to just, you know, stand up and make a decision and say, and you know, I don't know how you can look at that game against Rutgers and say, oh my goodness, Dave, you're the right guy for the job. D'Antonio is not going to fire Dave Warner. That's not who Coach D is. That's not how he runs his program. Simple as that. I just don't. He's never done it before. Why do you think he's going to do it now? Jack, you just sounded my ear and said you disagree. Why do you believe D'Antonio is finally going to go a different route here?
You know what? I don't even know, I guess, for sure. I think it's probably about 50-50 in my mind, but listening to his press conference after the Rutgers game where he said he knows that the fan base is on the warpath, I think he's kind of understanding that, you know, he's a damn good coach. I love Mark D'Antonio. Spartan fans will love him to death forever. But at this point in time, with this team, with the 114th ranked offense this past season and the fourth ranked defense, you know, I think Mark D'Antonio, I think it's kind of clicked in his mind that it's time to make a change. And you know what? To me, this is, you know, this is even more depressing than the 3-9 season, just because, you know, they had the players on offense this year, whereas Tyler O'Connor couldn't play. You know, let's just call it spade a spade, you know?
Right.
And, you know, from where I'm coming from, I do think you'll see a change coming from outside the program. You know, I actually would bet on it, I think, the more I think about it. Just because, you know, the other thing was Mark D'Antonio in his press conference the other day, he said his inclination is to keep the staff together right now, but he's not going to say that he's going to make a change when they have a bowl game yet left to play. And he didn't say that he's not going to make a change. And that might be semantics, but to me, I actually do think we're going to see a hire come from outside the program, which is good because I think Michigan State's at a crossroad at this point in time. Either he makes the hire from outside the program, or they're done. They're done contending.
So you're mostly reading the tea leaves from what Coach D had to say after that went over Rutgers. You believe that his tone alluded to possibly, likely, a coaching change when it comes to that offensive coordinator position.
Sure, and you know what? He was talking about how loyalty goes both ways and that there's way more to it than just calling plays. There's recruiting and development as well. But when you look at the two offensive coordinators, Jim Bowman doesn't do any recruiting anymore.
I know. And no disrespect, Jim.
I don't know if he does anything anymore.
Thank you, Jack. What does Jim Bowman do?
He does the running game, and he does the tight ends, which are two of the kind of biggest flaws in the offense right now.
That's true. I mean, he's listed as the co-offensive coordinator, right? He's not made available to us at all after games. You know, he doesn't have to face the music and answer questions as to what happened that made the offense go awry. I don't understand that. But for me, I just think Coach D, he's just too darn loyal. And the crutch that Dave Warner can really harp on as to why the offense didn't click this year is the quarterback situation. I mean, Rocky Lombardi isn't the guy that we thought he was. You know, when we saw him beat Purdue, that was great. I'll tell you what, props to Dave Warner that game. The play calling was catered to the offensive capabilities of Rocky Lombardi's arm.
For about one half, whatever.
Those throws to the sideline, those short little dump-offs, I mean, Rocky can do that, and he can make plays happen with his feet. But when you when you really run a pro-style offense and let him, you know, hurl the ball down the field for a play or two, he's just not accurate. He's not that accurate. He's not that of an accurate quarterback that you need. And Brian Lewerke with the shoulder injury, and my goodness, I felt so bad for Brian Lewerke. I mean, the dude is not even the starting quarterback, but he comes in, you know, as you know, holding that kick. And it I don't know what that was, but he has to pick the ball up. And then he still finds a way to throw an interception on what I perceive to be his day off. It's like he got fired on his day off. Just still alive from the famous Friday movie. I got fired on my day off, man. It's like he got fired on his day off, dude. It's like, come on. He couldn't get a break this year. So you didn't have a healthy Brian Lewerke. Rocky Lombardi, I don't think he is going to be the quarterback savior for you in the future. I don't know about Theo. They haven't seen enough of him. But if anything that Dave can harp on, he can look at and say, look, man, you know, when you don't have a quarterback, what can you do? You know, when you don't have – and a running game. They didn't have a running game this year either. I mean, I don't know. I'm going off of what we've seen or not seen in the past from Coach D. He's not going to make that move. I just don't see it. I hope he does, though, but I just don't see it.
Because they're done otherwise.
Oh, exactly. And now you're going to play. I mean, it's like, my goodness, you watch that game against Rutgers. Why would you want to watch Michigan State in a bowl game, period? I mean, you just don't have – you better hope that Michigan State plays a team that can't score. Because if that team – can score, and you're betting on that offense to play keep up, how can that offense keep up with any offense in this nation? So, all right, I got to get the second break in. Ray, I'm going to get to you right after the second break, and we'll close out the show with you. Call in 517-355-WKAR. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, a few comments coming from our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Justin says 36 mil and 0-4 against OSU, zero division championships in the Big Ten East, zero Big Ten championship games, zero Big Ten championships, zero college football playoff appearances. So we basically put in perspective just how overrated Jim Harbaugh is. Justin goes on to say if D'Antonio got the 4 and 5 stars Michigan got, he'd do magic. Little Jimmy has just as many big stars as Clemson and has won nothing. Very true there, Justin. Also, Ben says Michigan is the joke of the Big Ten because they can't get the job done. Can't beat his number one rival, can't win the Big Ten East Division, and so on and so forth. All right, line one, Ray from Indiana wants to chime in. Ray, what's up, my man?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great time. You know I did. I had a lot of turkey and pumpkin pie. Then I sat back and watched the bullies get the hell beat out of them. 5 or 6 cut players, injuries, carrying them off the field. Up and down the field they went, slant play after slant play, bringing the running back out of the backfield. You guys ought to think about getting Urban Meyer as your coach, buddy. Jimmy, it's almost time. Your time's almost up. Jimmy, bye-bye, Jimmy. It's time to leave.
Well, you know, that's the same question I asked about you, Ray. How hot do you think the seat of Jim Harbaugh is? You can't see him realistically getting fired after this season, right?
They give up 62 points. You just see how they
I know.
Kneeled. I wanted him to score that other touchdown and go for 2. They could have got 70.
But, Ray, I think that, you know, I just think that right now, I still think they're still – that leash is still a little bit loose. It's not that tight just yet. I mean, this is still a team that won 10 games, you know, went 10-2 on the year. They'll play in a nice bowl game. They may go –
get their butts beat.
Yeah, and they may go to the Rose Bowl depending on if the college football playoff committee does choose.
I'm hoping that Georgia wins, so Ohio State will have to go to the Rose Bowl and knock Michigan out of a big bowl at all.
Or don't sleep on Oklahoma either. I think Oklahoma may get in if Georgia does in fact lose. But if Georgia wins and beats Alabama, they'll be that fourth team in without a doubt. But I just think that right now Jim Harbaugh, he's still got at least one more year left. At least one more. Even though the talk about him being on the hot seat is pretty high right now.
How do you have a running back guaranteeing a victory, buddy? You've lost 13 out of 15 years, 14 out of 15.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't beat a top 10 team since 2006. Oh, that's right. That was coincidental, wasn't it? 2 weeks after they fired me, then revoked my season tickets and ran me out of town like a criminal, they haven't beat a top 10 team in 12 years. You
yeah.
think that's coincidental, sir?
Hey, Ray, karma's real, man. I hear you.
It's coincidental? No, it ain't karma. God pays people back for their rudeness and meanness and common courtesy. And they're the meanest people I ever seen in my life down there. And I just hope they keep losing. Keep losing. The running back run his mouth, didn't he? He couldn't back it up. You see how bad they got their butts beat. They kneeled on the 3-yard line. They couldn't.
Yeah.
They could have made it 70
right,
if
right.
they wanted to. That's the most points in the history of the series.
Yeah,
the
I know.
The series.
I know, Ray. Ray, thank you so much. Ray, always bringing the
all
heat.
God bless you.
Appreciate the call, my man. Yeah, OSU has now beaten Michigan 14 of the last 15 years. All right, folks. We'll keep this current sports train moving on the Tuesday edition of the show. We hope to get Damon Rensing, head coach of the Michigan State Elite Eight men's soccer team. That and more. We'll see you on Tuesday, folks, and be easy, people.